Let's open our Bibles to Psalm 118. But our pastor, if you were here last Friday night prayer meeting, our pastor mentioned what this Bible study is about a little bit. He was talking about putting your confidence in God and not trusting in man's abilities or man's talents, but to put your confidence in God. And we've heard that in this meeting for many, many years. So, and then also Sunday he mentioned, I noticed because I've been studying this, but the word confidence in his sermon a couple times. So that's what this Bible study is about, confidence. And confidence, the definition in the Bible of confidence, there's many of them, but it means to be certain. It means full trust, boldness, assurance, positive, safety, security, and courage. Those are all good things, aren't they? That's the kind of confidence we want. And, you know, as parents, we raise our kids. We want them to be confident. And, you know, we encourage them to say, you know, whatever you put your heart to, you can accomplish it. You know, we want to encourage them that way. But that's naturally. Spiritually, we don't want to trust in our own abilities. We don't want to trust in what we can do. We want to put our confidence in God. And anything we do, whether it is in the natural or spiritually, we want to seek the Lord in prayer and look to Him for enabling for what we do. We don't want to go at things ourselves. And I know that's how we are. Again, we're brought up that way. You know, do what you can. You can put your nose to the grindstone and accomplish what you want. And you know, it's true to a certain extent in the natural, but in the spiritual, that's not going to happen. And even in the natural, really, we need the Lord to get anything done. So put your confidence in God. Okay, Psalm 118, I'm going to read verses 8 and 9. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. So, you know, the psalmist wrote this, and we're going to, through this Bible study, come to realize why he said that. And this isn't something that you know right off the top as a young Christian. You learn this over time, because we all have that nature in ourselves to try to work through a problem ourselves, or to try to look to the person we can see for help instead of looking to the Lord, because that takes faith. But we learn this, that it's better to put our confidence in Him than to man or even princes or anybody in authority. And then we've heard this verse often from this meeting: cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? And so cease from man. And it's not just the other guy, it's this man, yourself. You want to cease from your own self. And our breath is in our nostrils, and it can be gone in a moment. But the Lord is everlasting. We want to look to Him. So there's a lot of examples in the Old Testament of saints that put their confidence in themselves or in other men and what happened because of that. And then there's examples of saints that put their confidence in the Lord and the results of that. And I thought of a few. One of them was Israel wanted to have a king and be like the other nations. So they rejected the Lord from ruling over them, and they chose... they said they wanted a king, so they got Saul. And how did that work out for him? Not so good. You know, he was turned out to be quite a failure. You know, he was saved, obviously, but he rejected the Lord. He would not obey the Lord. He disobeyed what the Lord told him to do, and he ended up losing the kingdom because of that. So they put their confidence in that man Saul, and it didn't work out for him. They had turned from the Lord, and they did that, and the result was their enemies overtook things, and it didn't work out good. But then you think of David. Now, when David, he faced Goliath, where was his confidence? It wasn't in himself. He was just a little guy, didn't have any weapons, a little slingshot, and here he's facing this giant warrior. But he was confident, wasn't he? He said, the battle's of the Lord's. And he wasn't afraid of that giant. He was looking to the Lord to fight the battle. And so how'd that work out? That worked out good. He defeated that giant and he slew him. So there's a good example of putting your confidence in the Lord. Another one is the three Hebrew children in the book of Daniel, when they were told that they should worship this golden idol, and if they didn't, they'd be thrown into a fiery furnace, and they wouldn't do it. They said, well, our God's well able to deliver us from that fiery furnace, O king, and he'll deliver us out of your hand, but we're not going to worship your idol. And what happened to that? They trusted, they put their confidence in God, and God delivered them. He kept them in that furnace, and they weren't even harmed at all. So that ended up being a testimony to many, and even down through our day. And now, it doesn't always work that way, you know. The Lord might let you burn, but you still put your confidence in him. That's the thing. The outcome is what he determines is best. And it's if we go with our confidence in the Lord, we'll have the best from that. Amen. And then let's turn over the book of Esther. And read about Mordecai and Esther here. And in chapter 4. So you know the story in Esther where this wicked Haman had written this commandment that all the Jews should be slain. And Mordecai took the copy that had it sent to Esther, who was the queen at that time, and said, now you need to go in before the king and make supplication for your people. And she said, well, if there's a command or law, that if you go before the king and not being called, you're to be put to death unless he holds out this golden scepter. And so let's read verses 13 and 14. Then Mordecai commanded to answer Esther, think not with thyself that thou shalt escape in the king's house more than all the Jews. For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? So when she was kind of hesitant to go before the king, did Mordecai go, oh, you've got to go. You're our only hope. You know, we're putting all our trust in you. No, he didn't. He said, well, if you don't go, God's going to deliver us another way. His confidence was in the Lord. And he just told her, though. She said, but you know, you might have been put in that place for just this time. And I thought about our pastor's recent sermons here, how he's mentioned Brother Hill, and how Brother Hill, I'm sure through the years, had many discouragements that he would have wanted to quit. And what if he would have, you know? And we had that sermon, Don't Give Up. That was a precious sermon, wasn't it? A lot of people have mentioned how that was such an inspiration and encouragement to their lives. But and even our pastor, Jesse, that, you know, he was asked to be pastor of this meeting, and he could have said no, and what would have happened there? But, you know, we don't put our confidence in the pastor. We put our confidence in the Lord. And if a man, like even with Moses, the Lord appeared to him in a burning bush to go deliver the children of Israel out of Egypt. He really could have said no. And would God have been stumped? Would he be, well, I guess the nation's going to perish because Moses wouldn't go. No. God's got someone that will do it. But, you know, the point is he will put you in a place like he did with Esther. You know, the Lord might have put you there for just a time like this. And you can glorify God in it. You can be a wonderful blessing to many people. You can be enriched in your own life if you'll just do it. And it's not going to be easy. None of those that I mentioned had an easy life. It was a tough way to go, but the rewards, you know, this life's a short time in the light of eternity, and the rewards they have far outweigh anything they went through in this life. So let's put our confidence in God, not in man. Then let's turn over to Psalm 27. And I wonder if the two in a sound room would turn the highs on back, because it's getting kind of dark in here. Psalm 27. This is David in his psalm, and in verses 1 through 3. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And what was he confident in? He was confident in verse 1, the Lord, my salvation, my strength. He He was confident in the Lord. David did have a host rise against him at times. He was in many battles, but his confidence was in the Lord, and he was a victor in many of these battles that he faced, more so than you would even think so. Saul thought for sure if he sent David into battle, he'd get killed, but he was a victor every time because he was putting his confidence in the Lord. So he was confident or sure that the Lord was going to help him through all these things. That's the way we ought to be. Let's turn over to Proverbs 3. And verses 25 and 26. Be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. For the Lord shall be thy confidence, and shall keep thy feet from being taken. So the Lord shall be thy confidence. And not just put your confidence in the Lord. He is your confidence. And I thought of this verse, these couple verses, in light of recent things that have gone on with the lockdowns in schools and these bombings that have been in the news. Hundreds of people are killed, our pastor mentioned this. It's just the enemy's trying to stir up fear in our lives. He wants us to be afraid. But the Lord wants us to put our confidence in him. And as it says here, he'll keep thy feet from being taken. Do you know you're the apple of his eye? He protects us. That close. And no one's going to come near us as long as we're trusting in him. And anything that does come to us is something that he allowed to get to us. It can't get to us without his permission. Even Satan, as powerful as he is, he can't touch us or harm us in any way unless the Lord allows him to do it. So these things that are happening, let's don't fear. Let's put our confidence in God. And we know the world's getting to be a more and more wicked place. That's just what the Bible said. But the Lord doesn't want us to fear. He wants us to just trust in him that much more. So let's turn over to chapter 14 here in Proverbs. And verse 26. In the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and his children shall have a place of refuge. Now, this fear is a different fear than what we just talked about, being a fear from all the things going on from the evil. This is referring to reverence, and I'm sure most of you all know that. So we're not to be afraid of the Lord, but we're to have a godly reverence for him. He's God. He's not just some average being. He is God. And if you have the fear of the Lord, the reverence for God, there's a strong confidence there. And then there's a place of refuge. And that this word confidence here means security or assurance. So when we trust in the Lord, he provides a refuge for us, and there's security and assurance. There's the things we need in our lives. We need that security. We need assurance because there's things that upset us, things that hit us that get us a little worried or a little bit wondering what's going on, a little bit uncomfortable. But to put our confidence in the Lord, there's a refuge. There's a place of safety. There's security there. And so now let's go over to Isaiah chapter 30. And in verse 15. For thus saith the Lord God, the Holy One of Israel, in returning and rest shall ye be saved. In quietness and in confidence shall be your strength. So in quietness and confidence. Now we've heard that verse, we're familiar with it. The joy of the Lord is your strength. You know, and that is, that's true. But here, in quietness and confidence is your strength. And this chapter, if you look through it, it's talking about the children of Israel, that they were going to put their trust in Pharaoh and in Egypt for their strength. And the Lord says, that's vain. You trust in Egypt, that's vain. And that's, Egypt speaks of the world. If we put our confidence in the things of the world, that's vain. There's nothing there that's going to help us. We need to trust in the Lord. And by putting our trust in him, that quiet confidence in him, well, that's our strength. And the Lord will, his strength is not vain. The world will find out, and we do that, you know, till we learn better. We do that. We trust in the things of the world. We look to maybe the government for help, or we look to programs or whatever. We try to, go with some book somebody says is a good inspirational help or something like that. And you find out that it's all a bunch of hooey. It doesn't get you anywhere. But this is the book you want to put your confidence in. Trust in the Lord. And then I want to turn over to Psalm 91 and read a few verses there. This psalm doesn't actually have the word confidence in it, but I want to read the first seven verses, and you'll see that it's someone who is putting their confidence in the Lord. Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God. In Him will I trust. Surely He shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with His feathers, and under His wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. So again, in thinking about the things going on in the world, how it's the enemy's trying to stir up fear, this psalmist says that, all these things can happen. There can be people dying right next to you by the thousands, but if the Lord's right there and He doesn't want you to die, it's not going to touch you. And that's the way it is. And this psalmist put his trust in the Lord. He's my refuge. He's my fortress. I trust in Him. All these things can happen, disease, destruction, but I'm just like a chick under His feathers. He's just got His wings about me, and He's protecting me. And that's the way it is. That's true. It's not just a fairy tale. This is how the Lord takes care of us. Praise the Lord. So now I'm going to go look into some things in the New Testament. Turn over to the book of Philippians, where we're taught not to put our confidence in the flesh. So Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to read verse 3 through 9. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any man thinketh that he have whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith. So here's Paul, and he said we don't have confidence in the flesh. And this man, as he said, if anybody thinks that he can have confidence in the flesh, I'm more than you. He was the most, arguably the most self-righteous man that ever lived. But what is all these accolades, They're all things of the flesh. Now, the flesh, of course, refers to our natural man, the sinful nature that's opposed to God, is the nature that's all about self. And so the self-righteousness that he had there, and you look at these things, what they were. He was circumcised. That's an act in the flesh. He was his pedigree. He was from Israel. He was from this tribe. He was a Hebrew. He was a Pharisee, so he was a religious man. He was zealous, all these things that were outward, but the inward part was still wicked. There needed to be a change. All those outward things weren't getting it done. That's putting the confidence in the flesh, what the flesh can do. And Jesus even told them that except your righteousness exceed that of the scribes and Pharisees, you won't even be able to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so Paul, being the most self-righteous person there ever was, pretty much, he wasn't going to get into heaven through that. It wasn't going to happen. And he realized that, thank the Lord. He realized that, and he counted that all refuge. He threw it all in the trash pile and said, I don't want any of that. I want the righteousness of God by faith in Christ Jesus. And that's that inward righteousness that Jesus provided for us by what he did, by taking our sins upon him and giving us his righteousness if we believe in him. That's the only righteousness God will accept. So no confidence in the flesh. There's not going to be anything. And it's not just initial salvation, as our pastor mentioned recently here too, that's just not for initial salvation. And then, okay, now you're saved, so now you need to work up something to perfect the life that you've been given. No, you can't do it. There's nothing you can do naturally. It all has to be him. It all has to be Jesus. We have to put our confidence in him, not in ourselves. And it's wonderful to know that and to be taught that. We aren't taught to, you know, I think our pastor even said, you know, like, pull yourself up by the bootstraps. What if you don't even have bootstraps? We don't have any means by where we can improve ourselves. We have to totally rely on the Lord. And isn't that wonderful? Because he wants us to. And he's all well able to meet every need. He's the one that can do it. So praise the Lord. Now, turn over to Galatians chapter 5. And we see that Paul said he did have confidence in others. But it wasn't in the vessel. It was in Christ in the vessel. So Galatians 5 verse 10. I have confidence in you through the Lord that you will be none otherwise minded, but he that troubleth you shall bear his judgment whomsoever he be. So he had confidence in them, but it was through the Lord. It wasn't in that vessel. It was confidence in the Lord in that vessel. It was Christ in them. And one other place, 2 Thessalonians 3, 4, same kind of thing. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command you. So again, it wasn't confidence in that person in the vessel. It was confidence in Christ in them. And this word confidence means to rely on someone. And, you know, you could think of like a boss giving a job to an employee and say, okay, I'm relying on you to get this thing done, you know. And, right, Dean? Get it done. But that's not what Paul's saying here. He was... and it's like a pastor that would ask someone to fill in for him in a Bible study. And he said, I'm relying on you. No, he would not rely on that person, rely on Christ in that person to do it. And that's the thing. So Paul shows that we have confidence in others, but it's because of Christ in them. It's not because of that person's ability or their talent or their faithfulness or, you know, whatever the thing is. It's because of Christ in them that's going to be anything to put confidence in. And then Paul does make it very clear where we're to put our confidence. And if turn back to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12. That at the time, I'm sorry, I'm in the wrong word, chapter 3, 12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So this is speaking of Christ Jesus our Lord, we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. That's where we're supposed to have our confidence, in Christ Jesus our Lord. And that's how we have the boldness that we should have. Jesus Christ, he's our high priest. We're accepted in the beloved. Not in our own merits, but in the beloved. And we're told to come boldly to the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace to help in a time of need. And that just goes right along with this verse, because we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. So it's his faith, and that's how we have boldness, because of what Jesus has done. Our confidence is in him. Our confidence is not in ourselves as being accepted. We're not accepted in our own merits. We're accepted in the beloved. So praise the Lord. That's where our confidence needs to be. And then, let's see. Philippians 1 and verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And that's a confidence. We love this verse. We hear this in this meeting all the time. But he began the work. Jesus began the work, and our confidence in him. He began it. He's going to finish it. He'll perfect it. He'll complete it. It's going to be him that does it. Glory to God for it. Not any merit of ours that we get there and say, look what I did. No, it's going to be, thank you, Jesus, for what you've done and how you showed such amazing grace in my life to take me from what I was, don't even see myself as being worthy of anything, and yet you lifted me from the dunghill and set me on the throne of a prince. Praise the Lord. It's our confidence in him, and we're, especially in this age, you know, we're living in this time right now where God's visiting the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name, a bride for his son, Jesus Christ. The Father's seeking those that worship in spirit and truth. He's looking for those that will be the ones that will be the bride for his son, and it's all him. Our confidence is in him. He's the one doing the work. He seeks us out, and he provides everything. It's just, will you let him do it? Will you let him do it? We have that choice, you know, like, Lord, have your way, or Lord, this is getting kind of tight here, or kind of warm, or kind of hard, and it does. But, you know, he provides the grace sufficient for it. So, hallelujah, and it's going to be so worth it. We just know that it's going to be so worth it. And just to know the love of Christ now is so wonderful, to know his love. Hallelujah. Then I'm going to have you to turn over to Acts chapter 28, and there's another word, confidence, that comes from a different Greek word here. So this is the end of the book of Acts, the 28th chapter, the 30th and 31st verse. And so here's Paul towards the end of his life. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all those that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. And this confidence that talks about here means boldness. Paul had a boldness to preach the word of God. And I pray for that. And I think anybody that gets in this pulpit prays for that kind of boldness, that we would preach the way the Lord would have us to preach. And Paul was, now he had been, you know, these many years preaching the word of God, and he knew the Lord in such an intimate way. He was bold about the things of God. He'd been persecuted, and he found out the Lord was faithful, and his word was true. And he was bold to preach that, no matter what it, if it got him in prison, if it got him beaten, or whatever. He just went on preaching that. But I also thought how Paul was kind of bold right at the beginning. In Acts chapter 9, when he was first converted, it says that he preached boldly in the name of Jesus. And that was just right at the beginning. So he had a conversion that he knew that whatever he'd known up to that time was wrong, and everything that he'd been shown in the recent few days there was the truth. And that was because the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to him. And he knew this is the Messiah, this is the Christ, this is Jesus, the Son of God. And I've been wrong all this time, and now I see it. So he was bold to preach it, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He's the Savior of the world. And so he kept on that boldness for his whole lifetime. Praise the Lord. And what a vessel the Lord used there. And then let's go over to Hebrews chapter 3. And there's a couple instances of the word confidence here. In verse 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. So some people might look at this and say, well, see there, if you're not holding fast that confidence, then, you know, you're going to lose your salvation. And it's sad that people preach that. It really is. I've come across people like that, and they just never grow. They never grow. They never have that assurance that God is their Father, and they have eternal life, and they'll never perish, and they keep thinking they can be lost, so they just remain babes. But this is not speaking of that. This is just, you know, his own house. He built his house. It's really the new man it's being talked about if you read through the chapter, that he made one new man, and that's his house, and we're part of that household of faith. And we want to have that boldness to the end. We don't want to be like some are that, as it says here, that they turn back in unbelief and such. In fact, let's look at verse 14 here. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Again, it's that confidence there. And this word confidence here has to do with a foundation. And so if we're made partakers, that word partakers in the Greek means a sharer, a partner or a fellow. It's the same word in verse 1 that says that we're partakers of the heavenly calling. So, and it's not that sun chironimus fellow error kind of word, but it's still a fellow with the Lord, a partner. And you think of a husband and wife partner. But to hold our confidence steadfast unto the end, and the foundation that was laid, because it says here, like in verse 12, it talks about if you have a heart of unbelief and depart from the living God. Again, it's talking about those that were in the wilderness. They turned from God. They didn't see. They weren't happy with what the Lord was providing. They kept having complaints, and they turned from the Lord, and they turned away. But not ones like Moses and Joshua and Caleb. You know, they stayed with the Lord. So we want to have that foundation. We have that foundation, but we want to stay with that. And what this word in the Greek means is the quality of confidence which leads one to endure or undertake anything. And that's the kind of confidence. When you have the confidence in the Lord, know that he directs our steps. Know, again, that he only allows things to come to our life that is good for us. And we can have that confidence. We can go through anything. We can endure it because we know he's in control. It's not something that is an accident that came to us or a punishment that's upon us, but it's working together for our good. And so we can endure it. We can have that confidence in the Lord. We can have that assurance, that foundation. And it's also, it's translated substance in Hebrews 11:1. It says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's that same word, confidence, that faith is the foundation. It's the assurance. It's the essence of what we have, our faith, our hope. So, again, trusting in the Lord, he's the one doing it all. And let's see here now. Hebrews 10, turn over to chapter 10, verse 35. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. So your confidence, again, this is talking about your boldness. And because, you know, we're fighting a good fight of faith. And we don't want to be ones that enter into battle and say, this is getting too tough, I'm turning back. We don't want to cast away that boldness. We want to go on. In fact, in verse 38, it says, the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. And he doesn't want us to draw back. He wants us to go on because, as it says here, there's a great recompense of reward. And it is a great reward. It's not just there's a reward or a prize at the end. There is a prize, but it's a great reward. It's a great prize. Jesus Christ is bridegroom. That's the prize we're looking for. That's the reward that we will have to be in that first resurrection, out resurrection, and that first company of believers that will be the bride of Christ. So we want to go on, continue in that fight of faith and not turn back, not lose our confidence, but continue to trust in what the Lord's doing in our lives. And then there's some verses in 1 John. We'll turn to 1 John chapter 5. Just look at one of them here. 1 John 5, verses 14 and 15. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And if we know that he hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire of him. And this is a precious verse to have in your understanding, because Jesus did say at one point that ask anything in my name and I'll do it. And you say, well, I asked the Lord for this or that, and it didn't happen. Well, this is a verse you need to know. According to his will. It's according to his will. And that's the thing. And I know I do that all the time, but I especially think of when I started my business. I was trying to start a business a long time ago and just said, Lord, I want your will in this. If you're not with me in this, then I don't want to do it. I want your will. And so, and Moses was like that too when he was leading the children of Israel. And he said, Lord, if you're not going with us, don't take us there. We want you with us. And that's how we want the Lord in all things. So according to his will, that's how we want it to be. Well, you can have confidence knowing he'll give us, he will not withhold anything good from us. It's all, but according to his will. So thank the Lord we can pray that way. We can ask the Lord for something, say, Lord, I would like to have this, but according to your will. I'm going to trust you that you'll give me the things that are good for me and withhold the things that are not good from me. And he does. And now, this next portion about confidence is in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And as I had mentioned in the prayer request, there's been a lot of homegoings lately. And these verses here are something that we take great comfort in. So 2 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8. Therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. That's a good confidence. And this confidence here in the Greek means to be of good courage. To be of good courage. Now, in the book of Hebrews, we read that Jesus, through death, destroyed him that had the power of death, that is the devil, to deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. So we don't need to be afraid of death. We can have this boldness here that, then this confidence that when we depart this body, we're going to be present with the Lord. And our loved ones, when they are saved and they depart this life, they're present with the Lord. And we have a boldness, we have a courage in that, that I'm not afraid of death. Why should I be afraid? You know, I mean, like Brother Hill, he mentioned that one time when he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you know, you could die from this. And he's like, you can't scare me about going to heaven. You know, why should you be afraid? Praise the Lord. Our lives are in his hands. And so to have that courage, you know, and again, there's been several in the meeting and that we know of recently that have had loved ones go to be with the Lord. And we know that just that confidence, that boldness, that courage to be absent from this body, you're the present with the Lord. Hallelujah. And we can rejoice with them. You know, they are rejoicing more than we are, but we don't have to sorrow those that have no hope. So I'm going to close out with this a little bit here. So why does God deserve our confidence? You know, we know God's the high and holy one that inhabits eternity. But, you know, he also dwells with the contrite and humble. He dwells with us. He hears our cry. It says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. He's nigh unto them of a broken heart. No one can heal a broken heart but the Lord. You might have someone put a Band-Aid on it or something, get you distracted from it, but to heal it, it's going to take the Lord. So he'll never leave us nor forsake us. And, you know, Jesus became a man and he went through this life. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He knows what we're going through. And, you know, we're not faithful, but God is faithful. He's a very present help in a time of need. And there's a lot of things we can't do, but nothing's hard for the Lord. And many things we don't understand, but, you know, his understanding is infinite. And, you know, the Bible says all men are liars, but God cannot lie. We can put our confidence in him and in his word. We often fail, but God never fails. And he cares for you. He cares for every one of us. So we want to put our confidence in him. So we'll close out with these verses in Romans 8. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who could be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? So put your confidence in God. Praise the Lord. I hope that's been an encouragement to you. And we'll stand and be dismissed.